Welcome back, everybody, to Chip and Eric Read Through the Bible with our friends. And one of our friends is Allison, and today's one day 100.
It is 100.
That's the title of the podcast. It's Welcome Back, everybody, to Chip and Eric and friends Read Through the Bible. And one of our friends is Allison. And today is 100, day 100.
100.
Because I stuttered really bad.
Okay.
Guys, it's day 100. 100, day 100. Emojis all over the place.
100.
I bet you were wondering why you woke up this morning and on Facebook, Allison had just put 100 emojis, like 100 emojis as the status.
I did do that.
Chip and Eric. Yep. Also, I am relieved to see you, Allison, because yesterday was supposed to be the rapture, and now I see that you're still here, and I feel much better about still being here also.
Well, yeah, I think I'm relieved too, because otherwise, that would be bad.
Real good.
It would be real. I was just
solid banter from Allison today.
No, I got
that bad.
That bad.
Bad.
A bad thing.
Tim LaHaye would say that I was left behind. Starring Kirk Cameron.
I thought the rapture was supposed to be today.
Yeah, but Allison.
What?
Today's day 99. Tomorrow is day 100.
So don't worry about us. We're still here.
Yep, we made it. Marked safe from eclipse.
I wasn't that impressed with it. I hate to be that person.
Yeah, I just can't see now.
Oh, did you look at it?
Yeah, I just looked straight at it.
Okay, well, that's not what you were supposed to do.
I looked the whole time. It's like, I'm just going to stare right at that. I'm just going to man up.
Just man up. It's not going to ruin your eyesight at all.
No, it's fine.
I was expecting it to get darker.
Well, you heard it here first. The celestial anomaly wasn't enough for Allison. Hey, speaking of not enough for Allison.
Today's day 100, and we are reading 1 Samuel 4 through 6 and Mark 5, 1 through 20.
The Philistines capture the ark. At that time, Israel was at war with the Philistines. The Israelite army was camped near Ebenezer, and the Philistines were at Aphek. The Philistines attacked and defeated the army of Israel, killing 4,000 men. After the battle was over, the troops retreated to their camp, and the elders of Israel asked, "Why did the Lord allow us to be defeated by the Philistines?" Then they said, "Let's bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh. If we carry it into battle with us, it will save us from our enemies." So they sent men to Shiloh to bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Heaven's armies, who is enthroned between the cherubim. Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, were also with the Ark of the Covenant of God. When all the Israelites saw the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord coming into the camp, their shout of joy was so loud it made the ground shake. "What's going on?" the Philistines asked. "What's all the shouting about in the Hebrew camp?" When they were told it was because the Ark of the Lord had arrived, they panicked. "The gods have come into their camp," they cried. "This is a disaster. We have never had to face anything like this before. Help! Who can save us from these mighty gods of Israel? They are the same gods who destroyed the Egyptians with plagues when Israel was in the wilderness. Fight as never before, Philistines. If you don't, we will become the Hebrews' slaves, just as they have been ours. Stand up like men and fight." So the Philistines fought desperately, and Israel was defeated again. The slaughter was great. 30,000 Israelite soldiers died that day. The survivors turned and fled to their tents. The Ark of God was captured, and Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were killed.
The death of Eli. A man from the tribe of Benjamin ran from the battlefield and arrived at Shiloh later that same day. He had torn his clothes and put dust on his head to show his grief. Eli was waiting beside the road to hear the news of the battle, for his heart trembled for the safety of the Ark of God. When the messenger arrived and told what had happened, an outcry resounded throughout the town. "What is all this noise about?" Eli asked. The messenger rushed over to Eli, who was 98 years old and blind. He said to Eli, "I have just come from the battlefield. I was there this very day." "What happened, my son?" Eli demanded. "Israel has been defeated by the Philistines," the messenger replied. "The people have been slaughtered, and your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were also killed, and the Ark of God has been captured." When the messenger mentioned what had happened to the Ark of God, Eli fell backward from his seat beside the gate. He broke his neck and died, for he was old and overweight. He had been Israel's judge for 40 years. Eli's daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant and near her time of delivery. When she heard that the Ark of God had been captured and that her father-in-law and husband were dead, she went into labor and gave birth. She died in childbirth, but before she passed away, the midwives tried to encourage her. "Don't be afraid," they said. "You have a baby boy." But she did not answer or pay attention to them. She named the child Ichabod, which means, "Where is the glory?" For she said, "Israel's glory is gone." She named him this because the Ark of God had been captured and because her father-in-law and husband were dead. Then she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God has been captured."
The Ark in Philistia, 1 Samuel chapter 5. After the Philistines captured the Ark of God, they took it from the battleground at Ebenezer to the town of Ashdod. They carried the Ark of God into the temple of Dagon and placed it beside an idol of Dagon. But when the citizens of Ashdod went to see it the next morning, Dagon had fallen with his face to the ground in front of the Ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and put him in his place again. But the next morning the same thing happened. Dagon had fallen down before the Ark of the Lord again. This time his head and hands were broken off and were lying in the doorway. Only the trunk of his body was left intact. That is why, to this day, neither the priests of Dagon nor anyone who enters the temple of Dagon in Ashdod will step on its threshold. Then the Lord's heavy hand struck the people of Ashdod and the nearby villages with a plague of tumors. When the people realized what was happening, they cried out, "We can't keep the Ark of God of Israel here any longer. He is against us. We will all be destroyed along with Dagon, our God." So they called together the rulers of the Philistine towns and asked, "What should we do with the Ark of the God of Israel?" The rulers discussed it and replied, "Move it to the towns of Gath." So they moved the Ark of the God of Israel to Gath. But when the Ark arrived at Gath, the Lord's heavy hand fell on its men, young and old, and he struck them with a plague of tumors, and there was great panic. So they sent the Ark of God to the town of Ekron. But when the people of Ekron saw it coming, they cried out, "They're bringing the Ark of God of Israel, the Ark of the God of Israel here to kill us too." The people summoned the Philistine rulers again and begged them, "Please send the Ark of the God of Israel back to its own country, or it will kill us all." For the deadly plague God had already begun. For the deadly plague from God had already begun, and great fear was sweeping across the town. Those who didn't die were afflicted with tumors, and the cry from the town rose to heaven.
1 Samuel chapter 6, the Philistines return the Ark. The Ark of the Lord remained in the Philistine territory 7 months in all. Then the Philistines called in their priests and diviners and asked them, "What should we do about the Ark of the Lord? Tell us how to return it to its own country. Send the Ark of God, of the God of Israel, back with a gift." They were told, "Send a guilt offering so the plague will stop. Then, if you're healed, you will know that it was his hand that caused the plague." "What sort of guilt offering should we send?" they asked. And they were told, "Since the plague has struck both you and your five rulers, make 5 gold tumors and 5 gold rats, just like those that have ravaged your land. Make these things to show honor to the God of Israel. Perhaps then he will stop afflicting you, your gods, and your land. Don't be stubborn and rebellious as Pharaoh and the Egyptians were. By the time God was finished with them, they were eager to let Israel go. Now build a new cart and find 2 cows that have just given birth to calves. Make sure the cows have never been yoked to a cart. Hitch the cows to the cart, but shut their calves away from them in a pen. Put the Ark of the Lord on the cart, and beside it, place the chest containing the gold rats and the gold tumors you are sending as a guilt offering. Then let the cows go wherever they want. If they cross the border of our land and go into Beth Shemesh, we will know that it was the Lord who brought this great disaster upon us. If they don't, we will know it was not his hand that caused the plague. It came simply by chance." So these instructions were carried out. 2 cows were hitched to the cart, and their newborn calves were shut up in a pen. Then the Ark of the Lord and the chest containing the gold rats and gold tumors were placed on the cart. And sure enough, without veering off in other directions, the cows went straight along the road toward Beth Shemesh, lowing as they went. The Philistine rulers followed them as far as the border of Beth Shemesh. The people of Beth Shemesh were harvesting wheat in the valley, when they saw the Ark, they were overjoyed. The cart came into the field, a man named Joshua, and stopped beside a large rock. So the people broke up the wood of the cart for a fire and killed the cows and sacrificed them to the Lord as a burnt offering. Several men of the tribe of Levi lifted the Ark of the Lord and the chest containing the gold rats and gold tumors from the cart and placed them on the large rock. Many sacrifices and burnt offerings were offered to the Lord that day by the people of Beth Shemesh. The 5 Philistine rulers watched all of this and then returned to Ekron that same day. The 5 gold tumors sent by the Philistines as a guilt offering to the Lord were gifts from the rulers of Ashdod, Gaza, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. The 5 gold rats represented the 5 Philistine towns and their surrounding villages, which were controlled by the 5 rulers. The large rock at Beth Shemesh, where they set the Ark of the Lord, still stands in the field of Joshua as a witness to what happened there.
The Ark moved to Kiriath Jearim. But the Lord killed 70 men from Beth Shemesh because they looked into the Ark of the Lord. When the people mourned greatly, because of what the Lord had done. Who is able to stand in the presence of the Lord, this holy God? They cried out. Where can we send the ark from here? So they sent messengers to the people at Kiriath Jearim and told them, the Philistines have returned the ark of the Lord. Come here and get it. Chapter 7. So the men of Kiriath Jearim came to the Lord, came to get the ark of the Lord. Are we done?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Never mind. Six.
You and he, you read.
Yeah, right. I already read that.
So now we move over to Mark chapter 5, 1 through 20.
That's what we do.
Jesus heals a demon-possessed man. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by the devil, by an evil spirit, came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to the distant place.
There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirits begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what had happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him, but Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he told them.
And that is our reading today.
You know what those pigs did?
What?
You know what those pigs did.
They ran into the water.
They went wee, 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 all the way home to the bottom of the lake. That's what I say. None of them went to market.
No, well, no.
None of them stayed home.
Nope.
None of them had roast beef.
Nope.
All of them had none.
Right.
It's just a fascinating concept.
That is true.
Hey.
There'll be a book written about that somewhere.
Nope. So we read all that.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two questions that we had in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, how does this help me love God more? Mm-hmm. How does this help me love others more? So which one do you want to cover on this very day, day 100?
I think I'm going to do, how does this help us love God more?
Okay.
This shows it back in 1 Samuel 4, we don't get to use God as a lucky rabbit's foot.
Mm.
We don't get to say, we're not doing so good. Hey, load up the ark.
Let's get that ark out here.
Take the ark this time, and then we'll win. But that's what they did. They didn't go to God and ask, you know, it doesn't say that they did. It says that they just loaded up the ark and took it with them. And then they got defeated again. Because God, you know, God's not, you know, he's not, he doesn't want us to love him in that way anyway, but this also shows that he's not going to be treated that way. You know what I mean? He's not going to be this, well, a genie that you rub, you know, I want this today and I want this today, you know, and not have a relationship and go to him and ask him for guidance and wisdom and what are my next steps.
Especially when he's your king.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they didn't have, right. Yeah. They didn't have anybody else. Right. And then also it shows too, like when they got the ark back, they knew the rules.
Yeah.
They knew how to honor and respect the ark. That was,
let's look in it.
Like, what is happening? Why are you, you know? And so again, God's like, no.
Yeah.
Again, this is my standard is high and I'm not lowering my, you know, I feel like God shows us over and over, he's not lowering his standard for us. Right. So we don't get to say, okay, so we need to win, load up the ark, we'll just take God along with us, and he'll give us what we want. That's not how it works. So to love God better would be to seek God's guidance, seek wisdom, abide with him, talk to him, have a relationship with him, be in the word, so that you're not just trying to tote along this little, like, well, I got my ark.
No joke. That's good. I like that.
Thanks.
You know, what dawns on me is, where does it say? The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Heaven's armies, who is enthroned between the cherubim. So the cherubim are on the lid in the place of atonement. That's what that's called. And he's enthroned there. It's his footstool. And the presence of God goes out, and it just terrifies everyone. Mm-hmm. Right? They're all scared of it. Mm-hmm. Like, Philistines thought they weren't scared of it. Then they were scared of it. Right? And all the Philistines are scared of it. This town's scared of it. This town's scared of it. This town's scared of it. Mm-hmm. Let's send it back to Israel. Guess what? Now they're scared of it. Right? And it reminds me, as we go to Mark chapter 5.
And
they're like, please go away.
Please go away.
Right? Crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they're scared of the presence of God.
Yeah.
And listen, the presence of God is a frightful thing. Absolutely. But in neither one of these scenarios should people have been afraid of it. Israel should not have been afraid of the Ark of the Covenant. They should have been respectful mm-hmm. of the Ark of the Covenant. Mm-hmm. These people should not have been afraid of Jesus. They should have loved having Jesus around because he just literally beat 2,000 demons right in front of them.
Right.
You know? And so there's something interesting about that, mm-hmm. that the presence of God was so scary to these people, and it was all kind of because of their lack of reverence for him. Mm-hmm. Another thing, the Hebrew word for tumors is the word emerod, which might sound more like something else that maybe could be described as small tumors, but isn't quite tumors. And if you look it up in a Bible dictionary, emerod, it doesn't sound as much like tumors, and it does have a secondary definition that's not tumors, but something more like emerods, right? So then suddenly it's like, oh, okay, now I get it. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, the word is hemorrhoids. So that's what the Philistines were dealing with. Real fun.
Yeah.
Real good stuff.
Yeah.
And also, how disrespectful of God to be like, hey, you want to take the ark? Guess what's coming with it? Little inflatable seats. So, very interesting how God treats them with absolutely no dignity whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And rats to go with them.
Yep.
And it kind of, they sent gold ones back. Okay. So how do we love others more through this? Well, I love that Christ's compassion is on this man who has been outcast and that others are afraid of. I love that he takes compassion on him, and not just compassion on him, but he commissions him. He takes compassion on him by healing him, and then he commissions him by saying, nope, don't get on this boat. You now have a powerful story that you can go tell everyone. Mm-hmm. One of the things I'm entering in ministry right now is this phase where I'm understanding that not everyone that I minister to or mentor or connect with, not all of them are going to stick around, you know? So like, and in a good way,
Right.
So like, I'm working to find students at Heston College to mentor. They're not going to stick around. They're going to graduate. They're going to move on. At the high school, same thing. They're not going to stick around. They're going to graduate. They're going to move on.
Yeah.
As a church planter who wants to send more church planters, they're not going to stick around. They're going to move on. And the thing that I can do is show them grace mm-hmm. and love and help them get to where they need to be.
Yeah.
And then commission them to go and say, you don't have to stay here. Yeah. You have a story and you have a thing to do.
Yeah.
Go do that thing. Right. Go home to your family. Tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he's been. Mm-hmm. He gives him a missions field.
Yeah.
He says, this is where I want you to go. This is the message I want you to give. And it's time for you to go change their lives. Mm-hmm. So I love that. Mm-hmm. And how can I love others better? I think by understanding that ministry is not about hoarding people. Mm. It's about helping people and then sending people into their own context to deliver the same message that we've always had. God is good, and he has done many good things for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Love that.
There you go.
Hey, did you pick up the order of the gold tumors and rats? Because I thought we were getting that for Chip for a gift, like an appreciation gift. Did you pick those up?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. I didn't forget.
Did they give you funny looks when you picked when you ordered them?
They said, "Are you sure you wanted tumors?" They said, "We thought that actually maybe that would mean something else."
What'd you say?
I said, "Just do tumors."
Yeah. Did they have any? Did they have to make them? They had to make them, didn't they?
Yeah. Which is fine.
Yeah.
It was
worth the money.
It was Josh Pugh.
Oh. Okay.
So he didn't mind.
Awesome.
He didn't mind, although some of the rats looked a little bit like squirrels.
Mm.
Which is also fine.
That's okay. Chip won't care.
They're both edible.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, day 100.
100?
100 is down. We're proud of you guys. So, I want to know that you're doing your challenge. Like, come on.
Yeah. You can do it.
You can do it.
And Allison, make sure you go on Facebook and see where Allison posted 100 emojis.
Yep. Go look.
For day 100.
Yep.
And they'll be there.
They will be there.
Won't they, Allison?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're there. I put them there. I put them up there because it's day 100. And so I put them on Facebook for day 100. 100, 100s.